Von Meilen und Zeilen. Der Abenteuer-Podcast des Delius Glasing Verlags. Mit Schriftsteller und Globetrotter Tim Kruse.
Corentin de Châtelperron ist unser Gast heute in Meilen und Zeilen. Und wie euch der Name schon sagt, ist Corentin Franzose. Und wir werden hier zum ersten Mal einen Podcast auf Englisch führen. Zwischendurch übersetze ich natürlich ein paar Fachbegriffe, dass ihr auch folgen könnt, und versuche, das Interview so leicht wie möglich zu führen. Corentin hat das Buch geschrieben Sailing for Future mit Low-Tech und Low-Budget um die Welt. Windanlagen selber bauen, Sonnenkollektoren zusammenbasteln oder Salzwasser in Süßwasser verwandeln. Low-Tech bedeutet für ihn auch, Glasfaser gegen Jutefasern zu ersetzen, und das im Bootsbau. Corentin, what I admire about you, you're not just an adventurer for your own sake, but you really want to change the world or improve the life of others. Would you say you have been successful so far?
No, I wouldn't say that, but I would say that this idea of using adventure and trying to find low-tech all over the world to share it, I want to keep it for decades. Mm-hmm. Because I think even if the impact is not as great as I expect yet, I'm sure it will come one day.
You're young, so you still have so much time to change things and to develop things. I would say your book is a guide to live an autarkic life, you know, where you live off the grid, where you live without the energy of a city and without water from somebody else, but you're trying to get everything yourself. How do you live now? Now you're in Nicaragua. Like, how do you live there?
After 5 years, since we started from France, the boat has evolved a lot, and now it's a bit strange boat. We have plants on board. Since the stopover in Singapore, we learned how to grow vegetables with a system which is very eco-friendly, and that you can install in a city or in a boat. And we have flies. The larvae of those flies recycle the organic waste on board. We have dry toilets. We have, like, we can recycle take the water from the rain. We have electricity thanks to the sun and the wind. We have a cultivation of spirulina, which is a microalgae that we eat. And so we have many experiments on board, and it looks like Arche de Noé.
Laboratory?
Yeah, it's a kind of laboratory, but also something like an ecosystem. Ecosystem is more appropriate.
Oh, yeah. Your book is so interesting because you have so many unbelievable ideas. For example, you went to Thailand and then you learned to grow insects, for example, and you eat them. Or you have a chicken on board to have eggs. Don't you think it would be much easier to change your life into a vegan life?
That's a good idea. But like to become vegan, I wanted to try that at the beginning of the 5 years expedition on board. But there are many countries where it's very difficult to become a vegan. Even here in Nicaragua.
Why?
If you want to have your proteins or some of the vitamins or minerals, it's quite hard to find the good products. And if I was in France, knowing where I can have this product or this product, I could become much more vegetarian, much more vegan than that. But I decided to stop at the vegetarian level because it was a bit difficult to be more than that. And even I'm not fully vegetarian because I eat the crickets that we raise on board, which is an animal.
Yeah, I know. But and how do they taste?
They are very good. It's a bit like shrimps. the way you cook them and you eat them. And I like that because, yeah, we have them since Thailand, where I learned how to raise them. And yeah, they just eat a very small amount of food. They just eat some like vegetable mm-hmm. waste and some of the leaves that we grow on board, and also some cereals, but and very few water. And so it makes you proteins. And also they eat the larvae of the flies that I was speaking about before.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
so they transform waste into proteins. And so I thought it's a good idea to eat them because it's not like a bad impact like you have when you eat like beef or anything else.
Exactly, of course. It is still so strange for us Europeans to eat insects. I was in Thailand too, and I tried them and I found them okay. How was it for you to like eat your first whatever insect?
You know, in France, we are already seen like, how do you call that? The snails eater.
Oh, that's true. I love snails, by the way.
And people that eat like a bit weird cheese and things. So, and I wrote that more than 2 billion people around the world are eating insects like traditionally.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a bit strange when you see them alive, like mm-hmm. like there are hundreds of crickets in a kind of box.
Yeah.
But when you see them in your meal, then it's not, and you test them, and if you cook them with some garlic and some oil and some pepper, and it becomes really very delicious and not so strange at all.
That's good. And it's so, like for Europeans, it's so crazy. On the other hand, why not? You know, it's just, my God, if we eat beef or chicken or pigs, why not insects? You know, we eat fish too and everything. So I find that a very good idea.
Yeah, and you know, last week we went to in Nicaragua to make a documentation about a biodigester. Mm-hmm. It is a kind of machine that transform waste, like it can be agricultural waste or waste from animals, into gas and also fertilizer. And this one was a biodigester based on, how do you call that, a place where you kill animals, like beef?
A slaughterhouse.
Slaughterhouse, okay. This yeah. biogas, biodigester, was based on the waste of a slaughterhouse. And oh. I was visiting this slaughterhouse where the cows are killed. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, oh, it's much, much more strange to kill such a big animal.
Oh, absolutely.
With those tools than to kill a cricket.
Oh yeah, no question. I mean, that's absolutely sure. There's a great book by an author called Jonathan Safran Foer, and the book is called Eating Animals, and you must read it. Every listener has to read it, because after that you will not eat animals anymore. It's unbelievable what humankind does to animals. This is beyond everything what we should do, but we still do it. But the world is changing, and you're changing it too, and that's so good. So why not eat crickets? Good. Good idea, really. Another idea that you had was, like, are you still living on your boat?
Yeah.
Okay, so that boat, you build it out of jute. You know, for the German listeners, it's Jute. And usually boats are built out of fiberglass, and in fact, they are just huge piles of plastic nowadays, boats. But yours is built of jute, and that's such a great idea. And is jute strong enough?
I wouldn't say it is the alternative, but it's a good step. Because like fiberglass and resin are not very eco-friendly, because like the resin is usually made from petrol.
Yeah, resin in German is Harz, just for the Germans, so they know.
And the fiberglass takes a lot of energy to be produced. And at the end of the life of this material, the combination of resin and fiberglass, you cannot do anything with that. You cannot recycle it. So the first step was to use natural fiber that can be flax fiber, jute fiber, or hemp fiber, for example, instead of the fiberglass, which is an improvement, but it's not perfect. You have also to use a different resin. And now we don't have the perfect resin now. Like, there are some resin that are not made from petrol. Like, there is no perfect solution, and jute is not the solution. It's one of the solutions, and like every year there are new improvements and new combinations of materials.
You have sailed almost around the world. You have seen so much. You have been in so many continents. You know, you were in Africa, in Asia, in America, in South America, everywhere. And in the end, you know, we're always trying to find solutions. Don't you always end up with a compromise where you think, okay, we can improve the world a little? Do you still have hope to really change things?
Yeah, I still have some hope. And my hope changed. And actually, I'm an engineer. When I was doing my studies, I was seeing also those problems with the planet and everything. And I was thinking that we just have to find the good technologies to avoid those problems or to avoid that. And the more I travel and I see projects and solutions, and I hear about what we call like green tech and everything, the more I realize that it's useless to try to find. It's useless trying to find technologies that will let us live like we are living now. Like, just an example. Like, people like to drive cars in the cities. So some people are working on making false trees to store the carbon and the emission of the cars. Mm-hmm. And many people are working on many technologies like to make correction of our mistakes. And the more I discover technologies, the more I discover the problems of the planet, the more I realize that we have to change our way of life.
What I see, because I travel a lot too and I've been sailing so much, I think the major problem is our attitude. No matter how much technology we will have, we have to stop wanting to fly around the world all the time, wanting to be mobile all the time, eating meat. You know, there's so much. And whatever we do, it's just, you know that term, we are rearranging the furniture on the Titanic. I think we have to get on another ship.
Exactly. And so we can say that we can still have hope, but it's not the hope of finding the good technologies and, as you said, the good arrangements of the furniture on board. But we can have hope that to find good new ways of life. And I think that's possible, but it's not easy because it's difficult to change.
Especially, you know, we from the Western world, we have had it all. You know, we are rich, even though we don't have much money, you and I, but we are rich. And how could we tell an African or someone from India to not want to have a car? It's impossible because they have the right to have a car too and to live our lifestyle. Technology might save us, but I think in the end, we really have to change in our heads what's cool. You know, it should be cool.
Yeah.
Not to work for profit, but to work for others, for example, as you do, you know? It should be cool not to have a car, a loud car, but to have an electric car or even a bicycle. It should be cool not to go on a plane, but go on a boat to go to America.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's what we should try. Besides technology, we have to try to change our mindset. And you're doing that too.
It's not easy to change our dream because I don't know how old are you, but I was born in 83, And in the 80s, like when you grew in the 80s or 90s, you could see like the science fiction movies and the books and everything were describing a future where like the cars are flying.
Yeah.
And the cities are huge cities with great buildings and no nature, and your favorite heroes were living in those countries in this future. So it sticks a dream in your head. And now, like since maybe 2000, we heard that okay, this future is. We understood that this future is not possible, and is not like I don't hope that this future will exist, because I think we need more place for nature, and that we cannot do like things that doesn't match with the resources we have on the planet and the biodiversity challenge and the climate challenge and everything. So we have to change a dream that is really anchored in our brain since the beginning of our life, and that's very hard.
What would be your perfect life, just for you? Like, how would you, if you have still this dream, how would you live perfectly?
I would like live in a place where that doesn't make a waste. Like, for example, the toilets, everything that goes in the toilets would be recycled on the place. Like, for example, on the boat, we use the urine to grow vegetables thanks to bacteria that transform the urine and everything. And even more than that, than not making waste, it could generate resources. Like, you can generate compost. And so my perfect place to live would be a place that makes water, that makes food, and also around this place, there would be, how do you call that, a forest that produces things that you can eat. I would like to live in a place that doesn't make waste, but that generates resources. And I think, like, at the time, we realized that it could be the same for the houses. Like, you can make a house that generates electricity, or that generates heat, or that is not just consuming resources. And it could be the same thing for the whole life in a house. You can generate food, you can generate electricity, you can generate water.
Okay, I have this dream too. That's exactly my dream. But in addition to that dream, I want to have people to live with, of course, because we're social beings. So wouldn't it be perfect to live in some kind of tribe, as humans probably used to live 10,000 years ago? So you have this village at a warm place where you don't need big heatings and stuff to waste energy there, and then have a good community. But then you need the community rules too. Like, tribes used to have rules, of course. You know, would that be the perfect place? Or would you say, are you a person that says, I don't need a community?
No, everybody needs community. I really think that we have to manage everything more locally, and so more with the people of your neighborhood than like now with people all around the world. But I think you can still have kinds of tribes or communities thanks to a good communication, because I don't want to go back to the time with no internet. I think internet, and we use it a lot with my association. The Low-Tech Lab, because it's a really good thing to share ideas, and like we do exactly that. We try to find good ideas and share it, then other people can replicate them and everything. So I want to keep that, and it makes also a kinds of tribes. But as I believe that we have to do everything more locally, like more with small enterprise, nets of people that produce and use things locally and with local resources and everything, and less with economy everywhere. It can be more with exchange of resources or skills and everything, you have to put more strength on the local relation between people than now. And so, yeah, I think it's as you explained in your dream. We have to make local communities for all that.
What are your next goals? Like, now you're in Nicaragua. How long do you want to stay, and what's your next plan? Where do you want to go?
Now we are visiting some projects, low-tech projects, to make documentation about them up to the 10th of February. And then we will go sail down to Panama to cross the Panama Canal. And then we will cross Caribbean Sea to Cuba, because it's like a good place also for low-tech innovation at large scale, and Haiti, and then we'll go to New York before crossing back to France.
How many people are on board?
Usually we are four. Just now we are five. And like, some people are good for filming when you go and make documentation for video tutorials, and some are engineers, some are designers, some are, like, Caroline is specialized in growing mushrooms to make materials with mushrooms. Wow. And so, like, it turns, I'm the captain on board, so I'm usually on board all the time, but the crew is changing.
Corentin, if you need someone who's a good sailor, please give me a call. I will be with you.
Great. Thanks.
Hey, thank you so much for this interview. It's been a little difficult with our connection problems, which we had, but you're in Nicaragua, I'm in France. And I really hope to meet you in real life one day, because to me, you're one of these great dreamers, these idols too. And I love meeting those people and exchange ideas and see how do we want to live and how do we get out of this trap of a profit-oriented world. And now, no, you are the one I could talk day and night with. And thank you so much for this talk.
Thank you.
Das war von Meilen und Zeilen. Der Abenteuer-Podcast des Delius Glasing Verlags. Mit Schriftsteller und Globetrotter Tim Kruse.